In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, November 30th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A Canadian megachurch pastor imprisoned in North Korea got some help from a Swedish ambassador, reports the Korean Central News Agency. Reverend Hyun-Soo Lim, a 62-year-old Canadian pastor who was born in South Korea, was arrested and given a life sentence of hard labor by a North Korean court in December 2015. Although he was visiting North Korea for a humanitarian purpose, state prosecutors accused him of using the false pretense of humanitarian aid to enter into North Korea to use religion to attempt to overthrow the Kim regime. The World View spoke with Lisa Pack, a spokeswoman for Pastor Lim's family in Canada, who explained how they're doing.
They have their good days and their bad days. Sometimes you just have this assurance that God will take care of this, and then you have those moments where, like, but when? You know, we're all human. There is that tension between trusting God and where do we draw the line, and I'm trusting God and doing as much as we can. So that's always been a daily process. You know, you wake up and you assess and you pray and you ask the Spirit to lead. Overall, there is a lot of peace that God is caring for him, that he is himself just at peace.
And Pack shared with The World View the biggest prayer requests of Pastor Lim's family in Canada.
He does have a mom, and we're hoping that she is holding on, like being healthy, because Reverend Lim is right about 62, so his mom is considerably older. Like, she's, I think, in her close to 90. And so we're just hoping that she doesn't give up either. And she's a woman of prayer as well. But as she gets older, there's stress takes toll on the body in different ways. Also for his wife, that she'd be able to continue to have faith and just to hold on. And that God would especially draw close on those harder days and not, for their family or the church, lead them to make decisions out of haste or fear or anger.
A school in England apologized to a Christian teaching assistant who was disciplined for telling a pupil that homosexual marriage was wrong, reports the UK's Plymouth Herald. Vicky Allen, 51, also said that she objected to the biblical rainbow symbol having been adopted as an emblem of gay pride. She took legal action to overturn a formal written warning and to seek damages for hurt feelings. Ms. Allen's primary beef was that she had been asked a direct question from a student and simply gave her answer based on her biblical beliefs. The French government has shut down pro-life websites, reports Life News, but that's not the worst of the hostility to free speech. After French TV channels had aired a beautiful video entitled Dear Future Mom for several days surrounding World Down Syndrome Day, they chose to censor it from any additional airings. The government's claim was that reassuring women expecting a baby affected with Down syndrome was, quote, not of public interest, unquote. In a revealing admission, the French government claimed that the smiles of the 6 children with Down syndrome might, quote, disturb, unquote, women who have had abortions. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Nick Cannon, the host of America's Got Talent, revealed that he has a talent for speaking the truth when he claimed that Planned Parenthood engages in, quote, modern-day eugenics, unquote, reports Fox News. Plus, the black rapper dared to say that Planned Parenthood is inflicting, quote, real genocide, unquote, on the African-American community. President-elect Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of Health and Human Services could be the key to dismantling Obamacare, reports Fox News. Congressman Tom Price, a pro-life surgeon from Georgia, has been one of a number of physicians who has worked to form a Republican Party alternative to the Affordable Care Act. Price's plan, the Empowering Patients First Act, which he has introduced regularly since 2009, offers free market solutions that include providing tax relief for individually bought health insurance and would offer customers the ability to own and control their health care policies, taking it with them from job to job. It would also allow those in government programs like Medicare and Medicaid to opt out and receive tax credits with which to buy a private plan instead. Surprise, surprise! A new Centers for Disease Control study says that teen virgins are healthier than their sexually active peers, reports Life News. Students who did not have sex exhibited more healthy behaviors than those who did have sex. Glenn Stanton at Focus on the Family analyzed the research for the Federalist and discovered that sexually active teens are 500% more likely to have injected a non-prescription drug and 3,300% more likely to smoke daily than their virginal peers. Stanton concluded, quote, "The sexual choices and values our young people hold have real-life consequences far beyond sexuality itself. Thus, they are indeed compelling reasons to encourage teens to choose not to be sexually active." Unquote. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-5 says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God." That's the World View on this Wednesday, November 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado with the intent to give them a distinctively Christian worldview, perspective on every aspect of life, whether it be science, history, literature, even mathematics. We want to be sure that our children are grounded in a biblical way of thinking. That is that Christ is the center of it, that God is absolutely sovereign over the entire world, and that he is the source of law and truth and reality. That really makes up a Christian worldview, and it's impossible to be neutral. The idea that Fox News is balanced and neutral, of course, is not true. It's impossible to be balanced and neutral because it always involves a worldview that interprets the facts and the events that occur around us. And that's why, of course, the worldview in 5 minutes, each and every day, broadcast as part of this radio program, with the intent that people understand that we are not balanced and we are not neutral. So we want to be sure that people understand that nobody is balanced and neutral. It's just that some are a little bit more honest about their imbalance and their lack of neutrality. We're sure that God is sovereign. God is the source of our reality, and that God is sovereign over history. And that's really going to be the worldview perspective we take to this radio program as we talk about history and national monuments and historical events. We happen to live in the United States of America. It's important for our children to understand something of the historical events that surround this nation, and that we give our children a proper way of looking at these historical events. Now, of course, the national monuments, the national historical monuments, the National Park Service is not neutral. And that is becoming increasingly obvious as we think about the Stonewall Inn that was named a national monument just last summer. And we're going to discuss this a little bit on the program with Kevin Turley, who is the director for Landmark Events. And they take tours across the United States and inform hundreds and thousands of Christian homeschoolers and others concerning American historical events, important events that constitute this nation's history. And Kevin now joins me on the Generations broadcast. Welcome, Kevin. It's good to have you with us.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. It's great to be with you.
Kevin, this Stonewall Inn was named a national monument by President Obama just last summer. And as you may know, the Stonewall Inn is in New York City. It was established by the Mafia and ran into some problems because the Stonewall Inn had no liquor license. And that was, of course, the problem. And that resulted in a number of police raids
And, of course, this was a congregation of homosexuals, and it turned into a bunch of riots. And therefore, I guess the modern progressives and the pro-homosexual crowd that effectively dominates every one of our institutions today has determined that this is one of the proudest, most noblest moments in the history of this country and is worthy of a national monument. Surprising to you?
In a way, yes, and in a way, unfortunately, no.
Yeah. Probably one of the most shameful national monuments. Can you think of a national monument that would be something like this? I believe Sodom and Pompeii had a few national monuments like this. Of course, Sodom and Pompeii didn't last. I think the national monuments were eventually destroyed, if I recall.
Yeah. We've been over to Pompeii, actually.
Oh, you have? Okay.
We're over in Italy, yeah. And it's quite amazing to see, 7 miles away, there's Vesuvius.
Well, they had a lot of monuments to homosexuality and bestiality, as you well know, and those monuments were destroyed.
Yes, they were. And unfortunately, if you go there today, they're actually resurrecting them. When we went, we said we didn't want to see any of those. Uh-huh. Any of that, and the guide said, well, you're going to miss 90% of the displays.
Wow.
Okay, it won't be busy where we're going then.
Okay.
You really can't lay your eyes down to pick up a trinket for your family, because everything out there on the table's got something really horrific on it.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was the end of Pompeii and Sodom, and probably the end of the United States of America, at least if we continue on in this vein. You think that Donald Trump will reverse this and remove the Stonewall Inn National Monument?
I don't know, Kevin. I would hope so, but I really don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Apparently, it's a 7.7-acre national monument protecting the tavern, Christopher Park across the street, and several other streets and sidewalks, according to the New York Times article that's in front of me. So the point being, and again, we don't want to just pick on this issue, the point being, though, that the National Park Service is not neutral, is it, Kevin?
Oh, not by any means.
Now, they've got a worldview operating here. What is that worldview, do you think?
It's a progressive worldview.
Okay.
It's one of great equality. In fact, there was a study done regarding the way that the federal government does business in trying to designate these new parks. And that said equality is now the way that the government is going to do business and what they want to really stress in their parks and such. And then an interesting line in that study, it says it's not enough to change laws and policies. We want to change hearts and minds.
You're kidding. That's something actually written into the websites of the brochures.
It is.
You're kidding me. Wow. So at least they're admitting it, that they're really out for an agenda, and they really want to teach. And you know, progressives that make it through American universities, those that are epistemologically self-conscious, ideological, and truly, truly are committed to an agenda that is godless and makes man the center of all, that is, man the source of his own ethics, completely autonomous from the laws of God. That is, those who have a humanist outlook and have sat for a long, long time in the humanist temples, that is, the universities, they usually turn into teachers. They want to, you know, they don't mind working for $24,000 a year for the National Park Service and educating the next generation. Do you get the sense that the National Park Service educators are out for educating the children walking into those parks and those monuments?
Oh, there's no question. No question at all. And that, in fact, we had a little incident when we were out in South Carolina. And so we were on a tour there, and we wanted to at Fort Sumter, and they said, "Hey, we want to take all your children. Give us all the kids, all the families, 10 and under. We're going to take them on this junior history tour." And we respectfully declined, saying we really prefer to stay together as families. And the ranger, a matronly woman, wagged her finger right in my face and said, "We know what your children need to know." Thus, the implication meaning that we couldn't possibly know what our children need to know. It's the National Park Service only has that knowledge.
I remember we were sitting in a committee meeting for the Colorado legislature on the issue of the compulsory attendance law. The force was to broaden the compulsory attendance law and bring our children into public schools and public education as early as 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age. And we as a homeschool block were there in that committee fighting tooth and nail against this abrogation of parental rights and of course the socialist agenda, which is marching onwards every year. So we were fighting very hard against the restriction of the compulsory attendance law, and a judge from Pueblo was there testifying, and he turned towards all of the homeschool families in the room and said, "All of Colorado's children belong to us." It's very, very important, of course, for these modern socialists, the Rousseauians or the Marxists that control our systems to see that they own the children and that they will educate the next generation of children to guarantee that the next generation of kids will be far more progressive than their parents. You get the sense that the progressive agenda is working through the National Park Service?
It is. That is one of the main reasons we founded Landmark Events, so that we can counter that and tell the true stories of what happened.
Wow. And just for a moment, tell us what this organization's been doing. What has Landmark Events done over the last 4 to 5 years?
Well, we've been in existence really just 3 years now, Kevin, and we've taken about a dozen tours every year. We go to places of significant history where we see God's hand in providence very clearly, and we teach then about those events from source documents, and we interpret the, you know, so we get warts and all, you know, the men, no men are perfect, but then we, probably the unique part of it is we travel as families, and we interpret all those through the lens of Scripture.
Hmm.
And what does God say about these events? And that way we can understand them and willing learn and inculcate them into our lives, and really what we want to do is spread hope. We want the blessing of the Lord in Psalm 78, where we recount His mighty works, and we're to pass them on generation to generation, so that our children and their children would fear the Lord and understand His blessing, follow His commandments. Mm. That's what we're all about.
Amen. You know, there's nothing more inspirational or educational than to actually experience the three-dimensional historical event by attending. It's so much more retained when a young person is you know, enjoying one of these three-dimensional, four-dimensional experiences in these tours versus the boring two-dimensional textbook sitting there in their parents' kitchen trying to remember all of these things. But when you're there and you hear these things presented and you see the monuments and then you're tying it in to God's story, God's providential workings in history, you begin to see there's meaning, there's purpose, there's excitement, there's inspiration, there's a direction that history is taking, and then you see yourself as playing a part in that history. It's very, very inspirational to be a part of one of these tours, and I commend you for doing this. Now, the minute you bring out God in your presentations, and certainly these National Park Service representatives are somewhere in the vicinity as you begin to talk about the providential work of God through these amazing historical events, my guess is you're going to see some kind of a worldview clash at that point.
We certainly have. Not always. You know, I want to make sure to say that we get a lot of National Park Service folks who are just really excited about what we do and very helpful. But there has been a disturbing trend toward when we will begin to talk about that, and they'll listen for a little bit, and then there'll be an explanation that, and then the Lord brought the fog in providentially, and it seems that's when they decide that we shouldn't be guiding in there, and they'll put a stop to it. And in the case of last year, Bunker Hill go so far as to threaten each one of our guests with a ticket and jail for Mr. Potter and I.
Wow.
If we didn't stop.
Wow. Isn't that something? Simply because they disagreed with your presentation?
You know, I couldn't prove that, but it seemed to be that was the time, because you know, in the case of Bunker Hill last year, it was, you know, probably 25 degrees. It's sleeting. We're the only ones out there. There's nobody else there. And this very zealous park policeman put a very aggressive end to what we were doing. No mention of needing a permit, anything, just flat out shut us down and said we'd have to leave.
What do you think is the trend? You say there is a disturbing trend going on. And actually, you've heard that from certain park rangers, some of these, some of those who perhaps may have a more conservative, proper historical view of what happened in American history. They're disturbed. They see this a wrong trend. What is that trend, do you think?
You know, it's twofold, really, and it infringes upon our liberties, you know, as Americans and as Christians. You know, and the first one really is access. The question is whether the parks belong to you and I, or do they belong to the National Park Service? And we would maintain that they're a custodian of those things, but they certainly belong to the American taxpayer. And in the instance that we're talking about at Bunker Hill last year, when I did call the supervisor of the park policeman to let him know what had happened, he was very apologetic about it. He had worked there for over 20 years, was retiring in just a couple weeks before my phone call. And he said, you know, this is the way it's going, that the National Park Service believe they now own it and can dole out access, and that they also want to control the narrative, and that narrative is really trained into the various rangers. And it's going to move from a real historical record to more one of the history of oppression of various special interest groups. And you can insert the name there, whether it's the American Indian or whether it's a woman or whether it's the Sodomite community.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a cause-driven thing. And
that's right. Well put.
And, you know, whereas you would say, yes, there's been some sinful behavior on the part of various aspects of American society over the last 200-300 years. Not a surprise. Men are sinners.
No question.
But they're not calling it sin. They don't see it as sin. They don't see it as a sin against God. And that would be the first problem.
Right.
Yeah. And then the second is that they begin to get things out of balance. You gave me the example of Clarence Thomas, who's a Supreme Court justice in the United States, happens to be an African American. Talk to us about that.
Well, just interesting. And again, this is a little bit different in that it is this is the Smithsonian, and I'm not sure of their structure. You know, our thrust now has been the national parks being, you know, a public place, and that's ours. Our right to go on, but in terms of cause-driven, obviously the new museum, beautiful museum of African-American history, Clarence Thomas, who I would think would be just a great hero and great inspiration to that community, is only mentioned in the context of elevating Anita Hill, and Anita Hill being his accuser who sought to block him from being Supreme Court Justice. The charges were proved false, and of course he was confirmed, but nothing to his work, but only really elevating her into being one who is forthright and a model for young girls to stand up and voice your opinion.
So what you see is an imbalanced view that effectively comes out of a wrong worldview, really. I mean, I think that's the point. When your ethics are not formed in Scripture, you're inevitably going to wind up with a, you know, glorifying homosexuality, effectively setting races against each other and genders against each other in this gigantic war, and then that eventually forms a revolution, and then you get riots in the streets and violence against police officers and a revolutionary society, and then you get the Stonewall Inn monuments as dedicated to sinful activity like homosexuality and revolution in the streets. So that I think is the worldview of the other side. But at root, really, at root, as you hear the National Park Service present, they assume God does not exist and God is not the sovereign ordainer of all things. And that's the bottom line assumption, right?
Yes. Yeah, it absolutely is. And then therefore there's no transcendent right and wrong. You know, we'll take the example of the Old South Meeting House, and there's a first display when you walk in. It's a big display called Voices of Revolution. And there are various pictures there, and included in there are George Washington, George Whitefield, and Margaret Sanger. And they're all three people who were misunderstood in their time, but through the passage of time now and our increased enlightenment, we see the nobility in each one of them. And that just makes my blood boil, Kevin. That's what, because every tourist to Boston, particularly foreign tourists, or every little child, and there are lines of those yellow public school buses go through there, there's someone in a uniform with a badge on their shoulder pointing them toward this exhibit, and that's probably, you know, the only time they're going to hear George Whitfield's name. And probably Margaret Sanger, and to put them on an equal playing field is just, it's insanity.
Well, it's confusion. George Whitfield is known for saving the orphans, and Margaret Sanger is known for killing the orphans. You know, we would say there's a slight difference there. and yet the left can't quite figure that one out. Why? Because they're reducing George Whitfield to a voice of revolution, whatever that is. No, George Whitfield had nothing to do with revolution. Jean-Jacques Rousseau did, you know,
right.
and Robespierre did. Huge difference between Robespierre and George Washington. And if you were a reader of history, you picked up a single history book or a single autobiography or a compendium of the sermons preached at in the 1770s, or if you actually found real data of what was actually happening in the 1760s and 1770s, you would conclude that what was going on in America in the 1770s was a far, far cry different than what was happening with the left-wing enlightenment in France, which produced the bloody revolution, the guillotines in the streets, the tens of thousands of dead bodies, and eventually the hundreds of millions of dead bodies that came out of the progressive revolutions of the 20th century as well. So it seems to me like the left is doing its best to confuse things and to promote their doctrine of revolution.
Yeah, they are, and we're doing our best to set the record straight. Put it that way. We're giving it all that we have, and that's I think that's the benefit of going on a landmark tour. Is it's you're gonna get the true history, the straight story, warts and all, like we said. But and then you take it back to the scripture and say, is this right or is this wrong? What does God say about these things?
Now you're going to federal court in New Orleans in December, and you shot out an email alert to your database and. And that includes me, and I would encourage others to sign up for landmarkevents.org's email alerts. Very important stuff here. But what's going on in New Orleans?
Well, in New Orleans, we're being brought to federal court with a charge of engaging in an activity without a permit is the actual formal charge.
Now, technically you did not need a permit to go to this national park.
No, we maintain we didn't, and we haven't. This is it's our third trip down to that particular park, Chalmette Battlefield, and always letting the National Park Service know we're coming, and such, and never being asked to get any permit. If you look on their permit page of what activities, we don't believe we fall within any of those categories to need a permit. So, no, we didn't pull one. We've gone to really probably 50, 60 national parks over the past 3 years and never needed one. And it was a little bit, you know, we were visited by a ranger, as Bill Potter, our historian, was talking about the Great Battle of New Orleans and Andrew Jackson. And again, he listened for a little bit, and it wasn't until the words of the Lord were mentioned in some attributing to God and orchestrating events that he decided to engage and ask who we were, whether we were a nonprofit. He was a very nice young man, and I asked him if there was any issues, and he said, "No, I don't believe so, but I'll let you know if there is." And then he went on back to the ranger station. We heard nothing until certified mail came, the citation and the summons into court.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like it's the war of the worldviews going on. And they're coming after you for bringing a Christian perspective, a providential perspective of history into the national parks. But, wow, this is critical. This is certainly our history. And you read about George Washington and others throughout history, even men like Abraham Lincoln. These men would have acknowledged the sovereign providential hand of God in history, something that, of course, is against the law to mention in American public school classrooms today. But if you look at the perspective of our founders, they certainly understood that the sovereignty of God was essential in understanding what was going on in history, whether it was the rise and fall of empires, as Benjamin Franklin would say, or whether it would be the winning or losing of battles in the war for our independence. Either way, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, they all acknowledged the sovereign hand of a providential God who was involved at every point, whether it be a sparrow falling or an empire rising or falling. It was always God's hand that was first and foremost in their minds. This, of course, is virtually gone today, and so there's tiny, tiny groups of 100, 200 people here and there that are being taught a right view of history, and the hundreds of millions of others are taught the wrong view of history today. Certainly you are in the minority, Kevin, but I commend you for standing strong. I commend you for what you're doing with LandmarkEvents.org, and I hope that others will involve themselves in your tours, because this could be a huge encouragement to families, to our children, our grandchildren, for multiple generations. It's crucial that we maintain a right perspective of history, certainly a right perspective of God's hand in history and God's law as the absolute determinant of what is right and wrong in historical events. So I commend you. I encourage others to LandmarkEvents.org. Kevin Turley, Director of Landmark Events, with me on this edition of Generations Broadcast. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. Keep up the good work. Don't be discouraged. You know, continue against all opposition, and trust in God, but keep your powder dry as well.
Amen. Thank you so much for all the encouragement and the great work that you guys do, Kevin.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. If you'd like to interact with the radio program, email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.